Here we go. One, two, three.
Set your apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for the Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You are now listening to the best iPhone photography podcast in the tri-state area. That's right, folks. It's time for the Tiny Shutter. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And where's Perry?
Folks, we are going to talk briefly about iPhone photography news, and then we are going to get the show going with, the same old stuff we normally do. So, in bargain basement news, Sprint has slashed iPhone 4S prices to $149, and then they've gone and sweetened the deal with a $100 gift card rebate. Looking to unload the newest current model of the 4S, I would imagine, in expectation of the iPhone 5 announcement. So let me put this to you guys. If you were either on an older 3GS maybe, or possibly even something else like a flip phone or something, would you bite for the 4S or would you wait for the newer iPhone 5?
I personally would wait for the iPhone 5.
It'd be tempting to go for the 4S. My wife has a 4S, and it's definitely a cool phone. I have a 4, and even I'm tempted to switch to the 4S when the price drops with AT&T.
You know, last year, my dad was switching from his flip phone to an iPhone. And I got to say, around Christmas time, if you don't mind waiting around, I think that's the best time to look for a deal, because he was... If his contract would have allowed it, he would have been able to get himself and my mom an iPhone 4 that were, what was the highest gig rate on it? It was like 64, 32 gigs maybe?
64.
Was it 64 gigs? He was probably going to be able to get two of those for $200.
Yeah, that's true too. I bought my son's for him for Christmas, but bought it early. And had I waited and bought it later on, I would have got it cheap money. So, yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on. And we are going to move on into Let the Revolution Begin news. The LA Times is reporting that what is believed to be the world's largest iPhone arts festival is headed to Santa Monica on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday, which is going to be the 19th? 18th. Unifying a community dedicated to making art on its mobile devices for the first time on this scale. The LA Mobile Arts Festival will kick off Saturday at 7 p.m. and be held at the Santa Monica Art Studios. More than 600 pieces are expected to be showcased.
Psh, amateurs. Let's put it this way. Tiny Shutters on Instagram, we have over 1,000.
That's right. And though the festival focuses mostly on art produced on iPhones, it will feature some artists using other devices such as the iPad. I'm sure it's nothing like Androids or anything.
Well, I mean, those are like the Crayolas.
And not all of the art showcased is photographs. About 100 pieces will be digital paintings, and there are also a few sculptures that are based on mobile art, so that'll be displayed as well.
Oh, you have my attention. I love digital painting.
I think this sounds like a pretty cool thing. I wish it was a traveling show.
Overall,
it'd be cool if we could start our own.
Yeah. We have a hard enough time pulling this together every week. I'm pretty excited, though. I don't want to call myself some kind of open-minded progressive or anything like that, but I'm pretty excited that, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, even some of the previous people that were skeptics are now really just kind of opening up to the fact that, you know, if you're creating, then, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, so you're on an iPhone and not a Canon 1D Mark IV, and so you're playing with an Android instead of an 8x10 view camera. You're still making things, and I think that's a great thing. And I think that people who are putting together this kind of effort to get everybody on the same page and show it to folks who are either interested or possibly want to get involved, I think it's a great thing.
Well, as an open-minded progressive, I totally agree with you.
Me too.
I'm super glad. Hey, listen, you guys remember last week when we talked about a particular type of product on Kickstarter called the Stabilize?
I believe you may have said words.
I did speak about it. It's a
was I there?
You were there. It was a stabilization device for the iPhone that was built into a was incorporated into a unique case design.
Yes, I thought it looked pretty sharp.
That.
Yeah. I actually talked to those guys on the phone. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's do that right now.
All right, guys, I'm here with Nathan Fambro and Brent Boswell with Dynamo Innovations Group, the brains behind the Stabilize iPhone video stabilizer. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great. Thanks.
Excellent.
Very, very cool. I don't know if you guys know, but we briefly mentioned and chatted about you guys on last week's show, and got pretty positive reviews as far as the idea and the concept behind your new product, Stabilize. What I'd like to know to start off with is what was the kind of spark that got the wheels turning for this project?
Ooh, I'll let you take that one, Brent.
Okay, sure. Well, the iPhone 4S actually had just been released. It had video online of the image quality and the camera quality and the video that you can get. First 1080p HD camera in a phone. And I saw that video, and they had Apple did something with software for their stabilization because they knew it was a problem. Handheld shaky video, and so they tried to tackle that with software. And not terrible. It's definitely better than nothing at all. But we saw that video, and we knew that there had to be a better solution. There actually is a solution out there, but there's nothing that really fits into your pocket and gives you the same kind of results as you would see with some of the bigger units.
Yeah, and I think Brent and I both have background in film and photography. I've worked in the film industry since the late 90s, and for me, one thing that I can't stand is shaky video. And so even though smartphones now have great cameras, it's difficult for me as a film professional to actually want to go out there and shoot video because I don't want to look at it afterwards. It gives me it makes me nauseous, and so I don't like that. So when Brent came to me with the idea initially, you know, I mean it was a light bulb. I said, you know what, I've thought about this, but I haven't thought about it in this form. And so it was instantly a wow moment, if you will.
So that's actually a good kind of question that I didn't get to ask is your background, both of your guys' background, that kind of gives you a little bit of strength in the design of this. Where did you guys come from?
Well, I've actually been working for Dell. I don't know if we're allowed to say other companies now, but I've been working for Dell for a really long time as a tech support, on-site hardware support, and I'd always been interested in graphic design, and I've always been interested in photography, and I've been doing freelance wedding photography for a really long time, and I also had my first real Steadicam when I was 19. This was 8 years ago. So I've always been really interested in just making a really good picture with whatever tools I have, you know, whatever kind of camera I have.
A full-on Steadicam?
A full-on counterweighted, it was a glide cam, actually, I think was the name of it. And it was actually supporting a Canon XL2, which was a lot bigger than its its recommended camera size. It was, you know, graded up to like a 3 or 4 pound camera. XL2 with the lens is like 7 or 8 pounds. So I was adding a lot of washers and a lot of more weight at the bottom to try to counterbalance the thing and to get it right. And I got it going good a few times, and I really love how much it completely changes the video counterbalancing the camera. So
sure,
I had a good experience there.
Yeah, and my background, I actually worked for a number of TV and film production studios ever since I'd gotten out of high school, and have a degree in broadcasting. And when I was in college, I was in charge of the broadcasting facility, all of the technical. So, you know, I was the guy who, if we didn't have something, I'd say, you know what, I really think, you know, that we need a camera jib, or man, I would really like to build a nice dolly system, kind of like a Matthews type of dolly system or something like that. So I was always the guy who was the idea guy who would go and build it. And, you know, growing up, I helped my dad with his welding business, and I was a trim carpenter. So I'm a very hands-on guy. And, you know, like I said, did a lot of this stuff in college. And so when Brent came to me and said, hey, here's the idea, I said, man, this is great. This is something I've always wanted to do, is come up with an idea, come up with an invention, patent it, take it to market. So it was, it was really the best fit. Excellent. Imaginable.
Very important to patent. Very important.
The thing for me that kind of appealed to me about it was obviously that it's got a nice price point, relatively speaking, to the other options that are available. One of the things that I mentioned on last week's show, and I want you guys to touch upon as far as, and I don't know where you are as far as prototypes go, but I know that with like a Steadicam or Steadicam Merlin or any of these kinds of things, it's not just plug and play. There's a learning curve involved with actually using it and using it to its fullest capabilities. Can you kind of touch on that with your product?
Sure. I've used it every day since we got our last revision done, and I've got to say that when you first use it right out of the box, you're going to notice a difference immediately, and you're going to get it pretty quick as far as the movements involved and exactly how it works. You're going to get it pretty quickly, and you're going to see that change in your video. But the more you use it, and the more you get really hands-on, you unfold it, you're actually out there using our product, the better you get with it. So there is skill that's learned along the way, and you really get a chance to feel in your hand the movement of your own camera, and you're able to control it in a whole different way. Yeah, you kind of learn, as far as if you wanted to pan left and right, you get to learn what the limit is going left or right, or you know, how quickly you can move this way or that way to get the best results.
I think with that being said, though, one of the things I was going to touch on, one of the important points for us, you know, being professionals, hey, we're used to balancing these systems and stuff like that on the big professional cameras. But what we didn't want was to put out a product that took a lot of
tweaking.
Yeah, a lot of tweaking by the end user. You know, I'm a parent. I have a 2-year-old little girl, and I have a little boy on the way. My wife is taking video all the time, and so what we wanted to do is to be able to have a product that you can put in the hand of, you know, of a mother who's never done any professional video work, who can slide her phone into the case and immediately out of the box, immediately it's balanced. It's completely fit for her phone. She doesn't have to do any tweaking. Of course, there's a learning curve in you know, making it really float along and stuff like that. But we didn't want there to be any difficulty in the setup or anything like that for the end user.
It's just fun, you know. It's a fun kind of a tool that you get to learn, and it really makes a difference.
So. Yeah, stabilizing video, and like you had mentioned earlier on, Nathan, it's horrible to watch something that isn't stabilized.
It is painful.
Yeah, it is literally painful. So something along the lines of this product is kind of like a godsend for people. I mean, we talked about this briefly pre-show. The iPhone is an amazing kind of tool right now. I mean, obviously it's got a huge level of limitations and whatnot too. But it's a huge tool for people to be able to use. I mean, if you're out, like one of the co-hosts for us, Matt, does a lot of hiking and whatnot. You can have that in your pocket. You can use it as a navigation tool, but then also use it to document where you are, or even create a little bit of a how to hike video or whatever. So I mean, having something to just next level that with a product similar to yours is really a great idea and appealing. So And you kind of answered it with the mom and the little kid kind of thing, but I wanted to kind of put to you a question is where do you see your target audience, or who do you see your target audience being?
I think that's kind of a wide demographic. You know, I mean, originally what we kind of saw was these indie filmmakers. We live in Austin, Texas, and there's a lot of independent filmmakers around here. You know, I still do a lot of film work. And so that's where we originally saw it. But then what we started realizing, you know, like I talked about the parents, a friend of mine works for the Texas Association of Realtors, and he saw what we had and he said, wow, do you guys realize what you have, what kind of a tool this would be to our realtors? He said, the thing is, you know, realtors have to pay a videographer to come in. You know, they have to schedule, they have to wait on the guy, they have to pay him to come in and do video walkthroughs of their properties that are for sale to put on YouTube and so forth, and the website. He said, man, with your product, they could shoot it, have it edited, have it uploaded to YouTube or the website within 15, 20 minutes. He said, that is huge. You guys don't realize how big that is for us. And so it's there's I think that as time goes on, I think that we'll see a lot of markets and demographics and so forth, professional uses that we hadn't even thought of, which is really exciting for us.
Very cool. And so one of my last questions I wanted to get to was if you had a timeline and a sort of not prediction but an idea of or how you're feeling about your Kickstarter project.
You know what, Kickstarter slowed down quite a bit. I think one of the things that we've realized, we went into Kickstarter with Kickstarter not as our only plan, our end game. You know, at the same time as we're on Kickstarter right now, we're also looking for investment. We're also talking to some investors. I have a meeting tomorrow with about 5 angel investors. So we have parallel things going on, which is great. I know that it's slowed down quite a bit. One of the difficulties that we've had, and you know, when you're bootstrapping it, you don't have the money to put into multiple prototypes to send out to people. And I know for us, domestically, prototypes were about $700 a piece. And so that's been the difficulty, that if we were able to get out prototypes to a lot of people to do beta testing and so forth and write reviews, you know, I think it would have sped up a lot. However, with that being said, we've got a lot of exciting things coming down the pipe. So, you know, if Kickstarter, if we reach our goal, you know, we're definitely excited about that, definitely working on that. If we don't, that's okay. You can still expect to see StableEye on the market very soon, and we've got some pretty exciting strategic partnerships that are in the works at this point. So either way it goes, we're hoping to have StableEye on the shelf by November, at latest December.
Interesting. So with that being said, November will be we'll already see the next generation of the iPhone out. Do you have a plan in place to retrofit your design? Retrofit your design to handle the new form factor?
Well, we know that it's very sensitive on how we make StableEye, depending on the case. Let's say if we were to make it for a Galaxy S3 or an S2, even between the 4 and 4S, which exact same hardware on the outside, right? But there's actually at least a 5 gram difference in between the two models. And that actually goes into production. So when the 5 comes out, we're obviously going to be one of the first people to receive an iPhone 5. And we're going to be developing that immediately to fit the demand of the people who already told us that they definitely want one for their iPhone 5.
Yeah, that was a big demand on our Kickstarter page as well. So we had a lot of questions, and we originally thought, well, we'll do just 4 and 4S. And there was a large demand, so we thought, hey, you know what? Let's do it. So it's actually on the Kickstarter page now. Of course, it's everything is pending, Apple's release and so forth. So there will be a lead time, but it will be available very quickly.
Awesome. And so real quickly, going back to what you said about the difference between the 4 and the 4S only being very slight, you have a different model for each one of those to, because I know, like we talked about earlier, the balancing of a Steadicam is fairly precise. So it's probably very similar to this as far as your balancing with that counterweight goes. Do you have a different model for each one, or did you split the difference?
Well, we are considering splitting the difference to make it more streamlined, but we've tested both, and there is, like I said, a significant difference in between the weight. So I don't think we'll be able to split the difference, but it is rather easy once you know exactly how much weight needs to go where in order for us to change the production between the two models so that we can make them about the same time.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, listen, guys, I think I've had a great discussion with you. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Go to Kickstarter, help us out. We definitely appreciate everybody who's supported us as well. And, let your friends know if this seems like a product that you'd like to see in your pocket or to recommend to friends. Please do check us out on Facebook, check us out on Kickstarter, and,
absolutely. Also let me throw a challenge out there for anybody to see better iPhone video with hardware that fits in your pocket, because you're going to be really hard to find that.
And links for all of that stuff, Kickstarter and the Facebook page and the main page, will all be at tinyshutter.com. Well, thank you very much for coming on, guys, and we look forward to seeing the product out super soon.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, folks, before we move into this week's focus points, I want to real quickly get to a thing that I've been mentioning for the past few weeks that I have not done yet. So for all of you that are sitting on the edge of your seats waiting to hear your postagram read, I am going to do it now. Actually going to give you a little bit of game show drama before I do that and tell you that if you head over to tinyshutter.com and for this post or any of the more recent posts, you'll be able to get a postagram promo code that will give you 5 free postagrams. And with those 5 free postagrams, you can mail one to Uncle Jimmy, one to Aunt Llewellyn, one to your buddy Timmy out in California, and one to your mom, and then you can take one and save it for us. And if you send one to us, we will read it off on the air. It's actually extremely simple to send us one. Once you go to tinyshutter.com and you take advantage of the link that will take you to the promo code, and you take advantage of the promo code, we are automatically entered into your address book, and it'll be right in the free Postagram app. You just click on Tiny Shutter, and boom, you can send us any picture you want, and I will read it over the air, and that's enough promo. We're going to move into reading them.
And if you don't get called for reading, then you can always play our home game.
The first one I'm reading off is from our old friend Doc Pop, and this is a picture from one of his Insta walks out, I'm assuming out in San Francisco, I believe is where he's from, and it's from an art gallery. There's a couple that happens to be sitting in front of a piece of art on the wall, and that's from Doc Pop. Thank you very much, sir. Our next one is another repeat offender. Sani Rath has sent us postagrams before, and she sent us another one now. This is my snow bear Fee. She loves to travel with me. Here we are in Denmark at the beach, and it's a picture of a white bear with a sweater on, so it might be chilly where they are, and a pair of nice sneakers, and they're sitting on the edge of the water. Very nice. Thank you very much, Sani. Next one is from Jamie. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. This is a pic of the main shopping precinct in my hometown of Portsmouth, England. Keep up the good work, Jamie. So this is a cool picture of a like double-decker sort of strip mall area with a walking path, sort of brick walking path in between. Looks like a bus stop. And this kind of hits home for us because we have a Portsmouth nearby here that I love to go to. It's more of a seacoast community type of place with lots of nice nostalgic bars and whatnot. So cool. Thank you very much for that, Jamie. The next one is from Chris. Chris writes, hey guys, I blog about iOS and iPhone photography at bismanapps.com. That's bismanapps.com. I'm also at DCMacNut, that's DCMacNut on Twitter and MobiTog. I experiment with not official filters, I experiment with optical filters. Here's one of my IR shots. Cheers. And so this is a really cool cool, actually cool sort of photograph with a lot of trees that are kind of sheltering it as like a tunnel over the path, and a very cool infrared effect. Thank you very much, Chris, for that postagram.
And we're going to bill you for mentioning your stuff on the air. We're not cheap.
we're gonna start billing for promo, yeah. Actually, if you send us a postagram, I'll read whatever you put on there. Well, within reason, anyway. All right. Keith, not me, but Keith, another Keith, sent in this one. Hey, guys, I just found you. Great podcast. And this is a very cool picture of a sky with a tree line. And it's kind of got a rustic tinge to it, and there's also like an overlaid texture. Looks like a handwritten letter that's been used as a texture overlay on it. Very, very cool technique, and thank you very much for that, Keith. And our last one is again from Doc Pop, and Doc writes, thanks for the Oloclip postagram, because I sent him one. Speaking of lenses, I'm loving Hipstamatic's new Jane lens. Finally, a nice subtle lens. And I have to agree with Doc on that. I just started using the Jane lens actually 2 days ago, and it's my favorite now of all the ones I have. And I actually just bought a new one today that was earmarked and supposed to be special for portraits, and it's not any kind of portrait that I like. But thank you, everybody, for the postagrams. Keep sending them in. We absolutely love getting them. And like I said, you can hit us up and get a postagram for free, and postagram is an awesome way to send pictures to people. Moving on.
Focus. Very cool.
Yeah, focus points. Anybody got something?
I have something that I like, and it's very helpful. It's indirectly related to photography, and this app is called Waze, Waze. And what it is a GPS app for your smartphone. And the cool thing about this is, one, it's free, and two, it's directly related to everybody using it. So they have about 20 million people using it. And if you're using it, you can report traffic jams, report car accidents, and it's real time distributed to everybody. So if you're driving and there's an accident nearby, it can reroute you and you can avoid the mess. And the thing is really, really accurate. I actually had a trip to Maine that my wife and I were doing, and the moment I turned this on, once we hit a traffic jam, immediately said there's an accident on your right in a few feet, and sure enough, there it was, and we were able to reroute.
Was it a few feet, and you couldn't even see it?
I couldn't because of the way the traffic was turning.
So it wasn't a few feet.
Oh, you know what I mean. It was a few yards away.
A few yards, like that's so much more.
I don't know. But it wasn't anything like extremely noticeable. There weren't any blinking lights or anything. It was just a broken down car at the side of the road that everybody was rubbernecking for. But it's pretty darn accurate, and I really dig the app, and I think it's helpful for everybody, especially if you're planning on doing photography trips.
Cool.
Very cool.
Matt, you want to go?
Yeah, I have an app that I've started playing with recently. It's a 99-cent app. It's called Space Paint. And for some reason, with my iPhone photography, I really enjoy over-the-top, not-so-subtle effects. I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of my pictures where I use lens flares and things of that nature and a lot of different effects from a lot of different apps. And I found this app called Space Paint. And basically, what it is, it's just a whole ton of somewhat ridiculous effects. It's lightning bolts and starbursts and all kinds of stuff like that. But the cool thing is you can layer these effects and stack them. You could manipulate the size and shape of them. You could rotate them and kind of make them as crazy or not crazy as you want them to be. And, you know, you can place them in the image exactly where you want them to be. There's smoke and fire and steam, light refractions and bolts of electricity. It's really a crazy app, and it's something I think you could really have a lot of fun with.
Nice.
Awesome, Matt. What I've got for this week is I follow a particular person on Instagram, and occasionally they will post some cool pictures, but with also with labels across them or text. You know, you've seen some of these where maybe it's in a frame, but there's also a couple things that say, you know, like labels like Jimmy or This Is Us at Camp or something like that. And I asked her where I could find the app and whatnot, and she told me, and I'm going to tell you. And the name of the app is Labelbox, Labelbox, and it is free. Very cool app. You can obviously, just like any other app, you can take pictures or upload them from your camera roll. And then it gives you a selection of about 9 or 10 different types of labels that you can use, with the availability of being able to in-app purchase more of them if you'd like. Basically, you swipe your finger in the length and direction that you want the label to go, and then you tap on it and you can add text to it. And then once you do that, it's done. So this is the kind of one fallback to this particular app is, first of all, when you swipe, in the direction you swipe and in the length that you swipe is what's going to happen for the label. So you have to get it right the first time. If you don't, then you have to delete the label and redo again. You delete by shaking. Same thing with typing. You type it on, and then if you screw up, you have to delete it and start over. The only thing that you can do is reposition the label, but the angle stays the same and the length stays the same and the text stays the same unless you erase it and restart it. But it's free and it works for what it does, and it's pretty cool and I like it. And there you go. Check it out. Labelbox on the App Store.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yep. That's why I said it. All right, folks, we are going to wind down here for this week, and let me give you a little bit of a heads up on what's coming up for some future episodes. We have a few very cool interviews that we're going to be peppering in here and there. We also have a bunch of app reviews coming up, and basically what we're going to be doing is trying to go out large and wide, find some great apps, possibly 3 or 4 apps at a time, kind of finding the best one out of all of them. All three of us are going to be working hard on this. We've also got one super secret project that we will be working on about 4 weeks from now, all of us together. So that's going to be pretty darn awesome. And then one other thing I wanted to toss out there for you folks is, if you have something that you want to hear about, or you have any questions, or there's something that you need us to dig into, if you want us to contact a developer, or if you want us to, I don't know, whatever you want, send us some contact. You can get there at tinyshutter.com, and there's a contact link up there. Head over there for links and information to all of our shows, back episodes. Facebook is the place to go for free app alerts and random stuff that pops into our heads. We are also doing occasionally different types of features on the website too. So check into all that stuff. Do us a favor though. Make sure you definitely head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter and like us. And one last thing I'll mention before we sign off, or before I let the other guys talk about anything they want to, is Instagram. #tinyshutter on Instagram. And that's it. What do you guys got?
I want to announce that the lens wipe is officially back. If you like casual talk about iPhone photography and you said, really, I really want more, I want casual talk on regular photography, well, LensWipe is the way to go. Find it on iTunes, and you could go to lenswipe.net for your fix.
Hey, can I add something real quick?
Please.
Last week, Focus Point, I mentioned the new diff case.
Yeah.
And maybe there are some people out there to think, well, that sounds really awesome, but I just bought a diff case and now you're telling me I need to buy a different one. Well, the good news that I just found out is that you can buy just the front section of the case for $14.95 instead of buying the whole case for $34.95. See, you get the new part with the ability to attach the lenses for a little less money.
Oh, sweet.
All right, folks. So you can find me at Instagram, Keith_Tharp.
lens wipe. That's it.
And I'm at M. Hoffman the Photo.
Remember, all of that information and more can be found at tinyshutter.com. Thanks a lot for hanging in there with us, and make sure you tell all your friends and all that kind of great stuff, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Candy bars.
Bye-bye.
That's a wrap.
That was good.
Bling, bling, bling. All right, folks, we are going to...
he's gone.
I hate squirrels.
You are now listening to the best iPhone photography pat. Yeah.
I'm robot.
Oh!
Oh. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. You're going to have to do some editing.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.